a few minutes to get to start into the children. They asked me to do a half hour, and then I just wrote down some things, and I ended up with tons. I just got back, as I said, from Maui, and when I was there, I had an opportunity. I was just supposed to do a seminar, preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and do a seminar at night for anybody on the island, and then run a special seminar during the day for pastors or counselors who wanted to help people who were losing. So the night was positive, the daytime, and then they threw in what I meet with the teachers at a Christian school, what I teach to the kids at Christian school, counseling all day long, and what I speak to youth groups. I said, sure. So we had a, if you notice, I'm just as white as when I went over. And the interesting thing was in the Christian school, as Neil has found, I found the same thing. Young people who are afraid, people that were sleeping in the living room with the lights on because they're afraid of the spirits, they're in the house. Kids that are seeing things, kids that are hearing voices in the Christian school. I did not talk in the public schools in Maui, just Christian schools. And you say, well, is this really going on? Have you ever asked? See, the mission that runs the school hadn't asked. And it was like, did I bring the demons and give the... No, these kids saw the demons before I showed up. And they were living in fear, but no one ever addressed the issue. The kids never said anything. You know, do you walk around saying, you know, I hear voices? Or we've got this something in our bedroom, you ought to see it. At night with the lights off, it's the only time. And it's unbelievable. So I want to go through some of these things that we found very helpful. It's amazing in my counseling, I counsel two groups of people. Mostly I counsel men. Secondly, children and teenagers. Then thirdly, women. And everybody I see flies in from another state. So the people I see at the counseling center, those that fly in from other countries are flying from other states. And I was amazed as I looked, it's mostly men that are coming, and then kids. So thank God. I guess a lot of counseling centers, they're having a lot more women coming for help. But we're seeing, or I'm seeing, a majority are men coming. The first thing we want to deal with, and that is the ancestral aspect, and we've got a few minutes, and I think we can get through this one. This ancestral situation is really a tremendous problem. I think Fred Dickinson said something like, was 95, Fred, the people that you see, their problem started with ancestral spirits. But remember, there comes a point in a child's life where it's no longer an ancestral problem, it's his problem. You with me? You know, God holds me personally responsible for the choices that I make, but the influence on that child or in that family is coming down through ancestors. We had a deal with a fellow that was in full-time Christian ministry who was arrested where he was living. I don't even want to identify even what continent or whatever. And his wife went to get him. She had come back to the United States, went to get him, went to the jail, and found him wearing her clothes. So they came back to the States. I was burdened for this fellow. I was new into warfare, but I was got into warfare by a missionary that was demonized, and I didn't believe in it. In fact, Chuck Lynch is here, who I picked as taking my place at Calvary Bible College as a counseling teacher. And when I left Calvary, if someone would have told me I'd be doing this, I'd have told them they're crazy, because I'm a conservative fundamentalist, and we don't believe in these things. Except in the Bible. But I came short. So here is this fellow. So I was burdened for him. I called him on the phone, and I just, you know, what do I do? The fellow doesn't know me, doesn't know who I am. And I call this guy in the United States and say, you know, I think you have demons. It's not exactly, but I just said this, and this is not a bad statement to say. Have you ever considered the possibility of enemy involvement in your problem? That's not a bad question. Have you ever considered the possibility of enemy involvement in your problem? And he said, absolutely not. I'm of whatever group it is, and Christians kind of have demonic problems. And I said, fine. But I said, I think you ought to really rethink this. And I said, just see how well you do with your counseling. So 4 years later, this fellow calls 3 weeks while I was gone, or three times in a week while I was gone. And he said, I've come to the conclusion that my problem has enemy involvement. And the fellow came, and in a week's time, This cross-dresser, we've had a number of them come, was set free. This fellow is being discipled by a young man who's here, his father, and who I trained in warfare, that lives in that area of the state where he's from. And the reports I'm getting of this fellow has been absolutely wonderful. But the first time he ever put on women's clothing that he can remember was when he was in the crib, when his mother laid her underwear on the bed. And he remembers putting on her underwear and falling asleep in the crib. Can you explain that? Where does a little child begin to have perverted concepts and ideas if there isn't an ancestral thing involved? Another illustration, I'd like to use it because, you know, I'm not a sponge. It's really hard for me to believe what I was seeing. And I went really slow. I went to Moody Bible Institute, and Fred Dickinson trained me in deliverance. And on the way back, I told my wife I would never do it. It was just too difficult, and I wasn't going to do it. And then the Lord forced me. Even after I had the training, I felt less wanting to do it. But what was interesting, just to let you know the reality of this ancestral stuff, we had a woman come to our home. My wife and I dealt with her. And as we were doing the power encounter at that time, addressing the spirits and writing down in that approach, and this woman was sharing the demons that were in here. We found out which ones were ancestral, and we were writing them down. That very same week, unbeknownst to the mother, her child was sitting in Fred Dickinson's office at Moody Bible Institute going through deliverance with Fred Dickinson. And guess what ancestral spirits Fred found were the exact same ones we found 1,000 miles away. And I had to believe there's some reality here. Because, and then they didn't know about it till the parent and child talked to each other later on, because neither one of them known they had come for counseling. And then I want to share, in closing for this part, the father's here, and I said, I'm going to use you as an illustration. I didn't know he was coming. I'm going to use you and your family as an illustration. He said it was okay. I told him he could slide down in his seat, so the guy that slid down in front of you, that's who it is. This fellow's in Christian ministry. He came to our mission, and we had rooms set aside in a lodge where I would see missionaries and Christian leaders from other missions. The first 200 people I led to freedom were missionaries or pastors. I'd never dealt with anybody that wasn't. It was all Christian workers because I was involved as the vice president of the mission. Well, this fellow came and his wife, and while they were there, they came to the conclusion that their family, their children, must have some ancestral demonic situations. And so we're going to get in how do you deal with kids and how you, but I'm just going to share this and we'll close with this because it's so neat. They had, and I don't know, the father's looking at me and I may have the kids wrong, but let me just guess. 8, 5, and 2. I may be off, but if you can pick the kids at that age. And they said, you know, we want to deal with the kids while we're here. And I said, no, the Lord will let you know the right time to deal with the kid. Let me give you Tom White. Remember, I recommended the book. Let me give you Tom White's material on how to deal with children. And when the Lord makes that ideal time, pray with them and follow the guidelines in Tom White's material. I said, fine. Well, I went home. The next day, they said, oh, you should have been here. Last night was really something. He said, after you left, our oldest boy woke up. He came across the hall, and he was crying. And he said, Dad, I had that terrible dream again. And the dad said, what dream was that? He said, the dream that the whole family was dead. And the dad said, and the dad had gone through deliverance himself that week. And the dad said to the son, Son, and I don't know why he asked this, I don't think he even knows why, did you dream that we all died, or did you dream that you killed us? I dreamed I killed you. He sat the boy down, and here's a father just been through deliverance himself, did not have any, really hadn't probably even read the material, sat down with that boy, and he prayed and commanded in the name and the authority of Christ that any spirits on his child because of him or through the family or any other reason would leave. And here this kid didn't know, no preparation, no anything. The kid didn't know anything. The dad prayed. You know what the kid said? He looked at his dad and he said, they're not all gone yet. He prayed again. He said, Dad, they're gone. So they decided this was the time. They went over to the little boy that was laying in the bed. They took Tom's prayer, I believe, and they read the prayer and they said, Jim, we wish you would have been here as we read this prayer over our sleeping son. He was thrown from one side of the bed to the other. We thought he was going to be thrown on the floor, back and forth while we read this prayer. And then the end of the prayer, command him to go. He just kept on sleeping. The next day, that little guy got up, and you know what he said to his dad? He didn't know that they prayed for him. He says, "Dad, I don't hear those voices anymore." They didn't know he heard voices. That's not the end. Remember, there's a two-year-old? On the way back, as they're going back to where they came from, as they were traveling, every time the mom would turn around in the back to give the baby a bottle or change his diaper or whatever, this two-year-old would look at her and stiffen out and scream. You know, they called it making strange, but usually don't do it with your mother. And she would just do this. And they stayed overnight with a couple, and they were driving back, and she was turning around the second day, and this baby screamed and stiffened out. And the dad said, "That's it." And he pulled the car over off the shoulder in the freeway and turned around and said, "In the name and authority of Christ, you get out of my son." The mom turned around, the kid smiled, and gave him a bottle. That's the first. The first thing we have to deal with children is what? The ancestral sense. And I think it's time for lunch. So let's bow in prayer. And we'll pick up after lunch. Father, we thank you, as Mark shared today, about your power. And we think of these little ones who are coming under tremendous attack because of the ground mom and dad have given. And these kids who are faced with a battle that they don't fully understand, and many of them are crumbling under that battle. But we're thankful for the authority that we have in Christ and the authority that parents have. And Lord, we pray as we continue to study of children and the various ways they come under attack and how that we might help them, that the little ones might be free of all kinds of demonic influence upon them and upon their lives. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do and what we're going to learn. And Father, we pray that we might learn one from another. If there are those here who have been skillful in a lot of practice with children, that we might learn how to deal with the child in a way that would not scare him or cause the child to fear the enemy, but the child might see their authority and position in Christ. Thank you for the opportunities we've had this morning, and we're asking that we'd have tremendous fellowship around the table. In Christ's name. I just, as when they asked me to do this, I just got alone and I just prayed, and what happened was the Lord brought children to my mind. And I just listed down all, you know, the children that came up, and then what was the situation, and then I tried to put it together. And so it may not be logically, it's just, these are just issues you have to deal with children. The second issue, we talked about the ancestral one that's got to be dealt with. The second issue that was a real problem to me to deal with is how young, right? What age can you take a child through deliverance? How young? Well, I had not dealt with a child, and I was dealing with a family. And there was a teenager, and I thought, well, a teenager's no problem, you know, that they're old. And so I dealt with a parent, I dealt with a teenager, and then there was the seven-year-old. And I thought, well, I'll probably damage him for the rest of his life with some kind of trauma if I do this. So I wasn't going to do it. And the seven-year-old looked at me and he said, "Mr. Logan, are you going to make me keep my demons?" He knew how to hurt it. So I thought, oh, Lord, I don't want to damage this kid. Let's go with this. So we dealt with him, and all of a sudden I realized the younger they are, the easier it is. And if you deal with children, you find the younger they are, the easier. They just believe. And they just believe what God says. I have an opportunity every year to speak to legislators, congressmen, senators, judges, lawyers, and so on. It's really a tremendous opportunity. Last year, one of our, I don't want to identify what he was, but anyway, a man involved in public government came up to me and said, "I would like to tell you what happened. We were, our son and daughter were in a major city, got involved in a good Bible preaching church. An older couple came up, they had a two-year-old boy and the wife was pregnant. An older couple came up and offered to be grandparents while, you know, your parents are away. Isn't that a nice opportunity?" And all. So they would even said they would be willing to babysit. Well, after the baby was born, in the first 2 months of the baby's life, They didn't realize, but when this couple would babysit them, this older couple, they were Satanists. And this newborn baby was ritually sexually abused, not every day, because you don't go every day, but for the first 2 months of its life. Now, they tried to go to trial and all of this, and I don't want to go into that because we don't have very much time, and I want to share a lot of things. But anyway, what happened was, this is 2 years later now, 2.5 years later, the older boy is explaining the behavior of the one who was abused this first 2 months of its life, now that it's 2 years old. And he said, oh, the reason he's doing that, that's when they put him in the oven. And the reason he's doing this, this is what they did to him. And so you have even little, or we're getting little ones, that we're going to need to deal with. We had a sad telephone call. And the family knows, they called me this week. I talked to them. But their 4-year-old daughter took a rope, tied it around her neck, and tried to hang herself. She tied knots that she doesn't know how to tie. But how many 4-year-olds can tie a hang type thing and hang themselves? But this 4-year-old was ritually sexually abused in satanic rituals by her grandfather. And she's gone through all kinds of struggles. She went to a pediatrician that happened to know me in another state that told the family they needed to see me. Then they went to a church in another state where they moved to get away from these people. And the pastor there said, you need to call Jim Logan. They thought, well, this has got to be of God. You know, my doctor in one state, pediatrician, said, call Jim Logan, and they did. So they called me. When the girl tried to hang herself, we had her put into a place that does specialize with the SRA children. And they seem to do a very good job with children. But after she got through there, they're sure she's not a multiple. She doesn't show anything because she's talking about it. And she's able to talk about everything that took place with her mom and so on. So in ritual abuse, and I want to put this, I didn't even lay the thing out there with children. I've got to apologize to you. There is no copier in the machine, or no copy machine in the building. So if you want a copy, this is the children's stuff, you know, the some of the things we put together here. But one of the things we had them do, here's a child, 4 years old, that was involved in ritual satanic abuse. I'm looking for a special page here. When the father got saved through this, and that's really exciting, and I've been able to, in a way, disciple him over the telephone. It's been really neat. As the dad shares the scriptures he's learning, and he's into the Word and all this. And so God is being honored through this terrible thing that took place in this family. But I said, I think the whole family ought to be dedicated to the Lord. It's step number one. You know, it's never been set apart to the Lord. Wanted this whole family. So when they told the little girl they were going to dedicate the family, she didn't want to be. And they said, why? And she said, I don't want to drink blood again. Or, well, I have to drink blood again. Little 4-year-old. So all the stories and things she's telling. But one of the best people to deal with a child is the mother. Because you can't force a child to talk. The worst thing you do is try to get the kids to talk about what happened to them. What you need to do is to allow them to talk. And when they want to say something, a mother needs to squat down, love the child, and listen. You know, what are they saying? And isn't that terrible? And all that kind of thing. But Neil Anderson, in his new book, has here satanic ritual abuse. All the things that on one side that happens in satanic ritual. And he countered it with biblical truth on the other side. And so what I had these parents do, since this little girl couldn't do this, the first one is, I renounce ever signing my name over to Satan, or having my name signed over to Satan. I announce that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, and they go through the satanic stuff and make a renunciation. But since a 4-year-old couldn't do that, guess who did it? Mom and Dad. Because the little girl has trusted Christ. And they went through and read this, that they wanted to break any kind of curse, blessing, or whatever was done to this little girl. So they went through and they followed this, and I believe this is entirety now. It's a little more involved in the book on children that Neil has in his new book, Release from Bondage. It's in here. You can see that. So we had them do that. And then we talked to this little girl about God's power because they were sending spirits to her. You say, how do they do that? I don't know how they did it. But they were sending spirits to wherever they moved, guess what would happen? Spirits would come into the bedroom. And she knew when they were there. She would tell the parents they were there. And so guess what the parents had to do? They had to teach a 4-year-old how to send the spirits back. One of the things, she had night terrors. And that's another key. Nightmares and night terrors. There's a difference between the two. But they used this for this little girl, and the little girl wanted me to have this as a gift. And that sleep sound in Jesus. I don't know if you've heard this, but they play this every single night for this little girl to go to sleep. And it's all about how angels protect you and all that. Because that little girl is afraid that those bad people are going to find her and do some of the most hideous things that you could possibly do to a little child that's been done to this girl. And she's always afraid that they're going to find out where she is and one day take her away and put her in the cages and do all the stuff they did to her. So she listens to this every night. And this was a major breakthrough for her. So if you've never heard it, it's by Michael Card. And it's just, and she wanted me to have a special thing. And she says, now, she calls me Jim. She says, Jim, when you listen to this, you won't have nightmares anymore. So you listen to this every night. You want to explain every question with a little child like that. You know, as they have questions, try to answer the questions. And if you don't know, have the parents call you. But we thought, does she really need to come to our office? But she really wanted to come. And so she did come, and immediately she was drawn to me. We didn't think she would be, because I'm a grandfather 7 times, and it was a grandfather that did it. But she just took to me right away, loved me and touched me, and she let me hug her, and the parents were amazed, because this is something that didn't happen. And so I prayed over her. The parents, I shared with them how to pray using Tom's material. I prayed over this little girl. She was in the office, and she is doing really well, considering where she's come from. Unbelievably well. She doesn't have these night terrors anymore. Spirits don't come in that bedroom anymore to attack her as they did. And the folks didn't know what was going on. She'd wake up screaming about things, and you know, she couldn't quite talk and pointing. And they didn't know what was going on. But here they were sending these spirits to her, and she knew they were from her grandfather. She said, oh, this is a spirit from grandpa, son. So she was a 4-year-old that we dealt with her and using the proper music. And then the last one that we dealt with, the youngest one possible. Man, our time is going. The youngest one possible was a woman who came to my Sunday school class one day. I was putting things together, and she was a brand new person in the St. Louis area, and she was pregnant. And I looked at the lady, and I said, is your husband parking the car? And she said, I'm not married. You know, what do I say next? You know what I said? And the Lord gave it to me. I said, you made the right choice. And she smiled. She was so afraid of rejection. First time in a church. And here she goes to a church pregnant and not married. And so the Lord allowed her to develop a real relationship with my wife. And because of the circumstances surrounding this child and everything, she came to the home. And in our home, we decided we would pray and break any kind of ancestral or any kind of, because of the conception. And when we prayed for this lady and prayed against any kind of spirits associated with that child, I got frightened. When I prayed and I commanded any spirits associated with the child to leave, when I said that, the baby leaped in her womb and the woman grabbed her sides. So, you know, and if you go back in literature, you find that when a baby was baptized at a baptismal fountain, all the way back, and I've got all of these books that I've read, you'll find that they dealt with ancestral demons at the baptismal fountain. And they prayed against this. The early church did this. This continually prayed against. It's become a ritual now, but there was a time it was meaningful. And so just even a baby in the womb can be dedicated to Christ. And any kind of ancestral thing can be removed from it, even in a womb. Okay, one of the tools that we found in dealing with a child that I think is very important, this is moving into another area now, and that is we need to check out the child's salvation. We're dealing with a child. We want to be sure that they know who the Lord is. And we use the tool, and there's people here that are very skillful from the mission I was in. If you know what this is, you know it's connected with the mission I was a part of. It's a wordless book. And the wordless book is an excellent tool. It explains the gospel. It explains, you know, where God is and no sin can go there. It talks about this page where it talks about sin. It talks about the blood of Christ, how his work on the cross, and how that you could be washed and have the righteousness of Christ and you need to grow. I'm giving you a real quickie. But you can also use this as a warfare tool. And teach spiritual warfare with the same book, right? What about Jude? What's it say about those who those spirits of darkness and so on in the book of Jude? The finished work of Christ, the righteousness of Christ to stand against them and so on. And so we use this tool. We had a missionary's grandkids come to our office, and they thought there may be some demonic problem because of their dad, because the kids were having nightmares and all of this. And I'll never forget We had a real, the best kind of gal to be on the telephone when you call to an organization. She was so friendly. She'd say, oh, is it raining in Hong Kong? And, you know, what's happening in Switzerland? And it's raining here. It was a really a kind of a nut, and she had balloons and suckers. And the kids just loved going to her desk. And so she was with this little girl, the oldest of these girls. I think it was like 4 and 3 or 5 and 3, just little kids, preschoolers. I walked in. This girl didn't know who I was. When I walked in, she went, ah! And our girl went, oh, no. She's sitting there just petrified looking at this little five-year-old doing this horrible thing at me. And I'm going, it took me by, I mean, I've had adults do things like that, especially after finals, but not, not kid, little kid like that. And that little girl would look at me. She would duck her head. She would do all kinds of things. It was terrible. I went to the wordless book. Her mother was holding her. I went to this book. Her, you know, she's a granddaughter of missionaries. I went to this little book, and I shared, you know, Jesus would like to come in your heart. And she said, I don't want him, with a different voice. The mother's crying, holding this little child with this voice coming out of it. It didn't want Christ. It's a little kid. But you know that we prayed over those children when they were sleeping, both of them, using the prayer that Tom White has in his book. I said, just you have authority, you're the mother, pray over your child when they're sleeping and break any of this. Both little children after that received the Lord. The grandmother was out in the hall, this little girl that would do this stuff and hide her head and do horrible gestures at me, ran down the hall and put her arms around my leg and put her head on my leg, and the grandmother came out and saw it and started crying. But this little girl that was so against all this, check out their salvation. We had a girl that the family had spent $72,000 in counseling in 2 years. She was a teenager, graduated from a Christian school, got the highest award for the Christian character and so on. This girl, when she came to our mission for help, had not had on regular clothes for 6 months. Her mother has permanent scars. Her dad teaches in a Bible college. Her mother has permanent scars on her arm. Or she would try to push her daughter into a shower, but if the voices didn't tell her she could shower, she would fight her mother. She would stand and go to the bathroom on the floor if the voices didn't tell her she could go. And I was really concerned. I mean, she was the worst case that I've ever seen. She had been in 6 mental hospitals and had seen 16 psychiatrists. And I thought, what can I do for this girl? I mean, she's been everywhere. She's been to all of them, and I didn't know what to do. But I thought, at least I can check out her salvation. So we got her out by the lake. She sat down, and I went through this book. And she says, oh, I know that. They got her dressed. She was dressed. And she says, oh, I know that. She said, that's the wordless book. I've led people to Christ with that book. I said, oh. I said, you know, it's also a book on warfare. And I talked about the forces of darkness. And I quoted the thing in Jude. And I went to the finished work of Christ. This girl stood up, fell on her knees, and began to bang her head in the dirt as hard as she could, as far, smashing her head in the dirt. When I would pray against the enemy, she would smash harder and harder and harder. If I would stop praying, she would stop smashing. And I'm crying because I'm hurting this girl. I'm trying to help her, and I'm hurting her. Well, I wasn't hurting. The enemy looked like, what am I doing here? If I don't do anything and just let her wander around in this Neverland, she's better off than me trying to deal with her, because look what the enemy's doing to this girl. And so I said to this girl, I said, you know, I prayed against the enemy. And she said, sir, Christians cannot have demonic problems. From her teaching. And she said, how do you know God doesn't want me to hit my head in the dirt? And I knew, and I had to run and get my Bible, which was blocks away at the mission from the lake, and ran back with my Bible because I had the answer. And I knelt down and I said, and she's still with her head in the dirt, but she wasn't smashing it. And she said, I said, you know, Jesus doesn't want your head in the dirt. She says, how do you know? And I read about the little boy rolling in the dirt, where Jesus reached down and lifted him out of the dirt. I said, Jesus doesn't push your head in the dirt. And she struggled because she had a Bible background. Here Jesus is lifting him out of the dirt. The voices are telling her to smash herself in the dirt. Can these voices really be of God? And that was the beginning of the breakthrough for that girl, when she began to believe that those voices she was hearing were not true. She had to begin to see that those were lies. Okay, let's see what else here. Okay, here's another one. Occult involvement. There must be a renunciation of occult involvement. We had a missionary's son come, and we have them do a renunciation. We give check sheets. We mark every kind of an occult kind of experience someone can have, or games and all of that, to see where these people are coming from. And when I said, I have them read Revelation 12, where Satan was overcome, the accuser of the brethren, and so on, or is it 10 or 12 in there in Revelation? And where it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. And I wanted him to give his testimony out loud that he wanted nothing to do with the enemy or his powers or empowering or any of them. And he looked at me and I thought, he's like sitting there and I'm going, I'm not a complicated person. That couldn't have been that complicated. And I said, well, we just read this. And I said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Would you just give your testimony? I already know that you're a Christian. You gave me that. Would you give your testimony that you don't want any of this empowering in your life and you renounce any of the satanic involvement and so on? And he looked at me, a missionary son, and said, if I do that, I'll be like everybody else. And I said, you're right. And he wouldn't do it. And we stopped the procedures. He liked the empowering that he had in his life, and to use that power over others. We had a young man. I was doing some summer missionaries, and I was not teaching on warfare at all. This kid didn't hear anything on it. I was just teaching, and the thing I taught was on not grieving the Spirit of God and being a Spirit-filled person so they could have dynamic in their spirit summer ministries. This kid was about 14 at the time. He's now in college, but he's 14 at the time, and he started crying. I didn't say anything that would make anybody cry. And a teenager to cry in front of other teenagers just isn't normal. And so afterwards, I went over and I said, are you having struggles? He says, oh, I'm okay. And I just couldn't buy that. So I sat down on the platform. It kind of had steps, waiting until they got through all the stuff. It was kind of late at night. I went over to this kid and I said, can I help you? Out of the blue, this kid said, well, I used to play Dungeons and Dragons. And I said, oh, that's, you know, amazing. I've got a 60-minute thing in my office here at the mission that's an expose of a D&D. I said, would you like to watch it? He said, sure. So we sat in there and we watched this thing. How many kids killed themselves? You've probably seen it. You know, the whole thing that 60 Minutes did, or one of those TV things. So he watched it, and then he said, well, I really wasn't that truthful with you. He said, I not only played D&D, I was a dungeon master. And I thought, well, I've heard that every dungeon master probably is demonized. You get that far in the game, you've probably picked up some demons. So I asked the kid, and I said, would you allow me to pray for you? Now, he had already said, well, I got rid of the board, I got rid of the dice, they got funny dice, I got rid of all my books. So I got rid of that a year ago. I don't have any of that stuff anymore. And I said, well, would you allow me to just pray with you? And we'll just pray against any kind of an attachment that the enemy may have taken because of the game. He said, fine. So he's sitting there. The chair has arms on it. And he said, let's pray. I could used to do this, but I can't anymore. And he bowed down and he put his head between his knees. You know how kids do. And his arms are hitting the floor. And I just started praying. Lord Jesus, you know, just be with it. I didn't ask God's protection. I didn't think we needed it. And I just said, Lord, if there's, you know, any attachment. And all of a sudden it was bam. The kid was thrown backwards. It's like someone slugged him. He was thrown backwards in the chair. The chair went up. I thought he was going to go clear over it. It came down. When it came down, his head went up. His eyes rolled in his head, and he started gurgling. I mean, just like that. It was just, poof. And I just said, I didn't know what else to do. It was just quick. In the name of Jesus, leave him alone. And he said, did you see that? I said, yeah, I was sitting right here. I saw the whole thing. He says, wow, that was powerful. He said, man, I got to go tell my youth group. I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think they're ready for that. And so we knew a kid from the youth group. He came and said, you won't believe this. He said, man, he said, Mr. Logan started praying for me, and I was thrown backwards in this chair. And he said, it was like someone slugged me. And he said, my head went up. And he said, it was awful. I said, now I'm okay. And he said, I think I ought to tell the youth group about this. Because I don't think you ought to. But isn't that tragedy? That kids have experienced, and they can't share with other Christian kids, freedom. As long as in bondage, it's okay in the youth group. But for him to share that God did a work in his life, he can't be shared. But the reason I shared that one with you, which is important, is why did the kid have a problem? He took D&D stuff and he threw it away. He got rid of all the occult stuff. Why did he have a problem? Because he didn't fulfill all of James 4:6, right? He submitted to God in the area of the stuff. He got rid of it, but what didn't he do? He didn't take back the ground or resist the enemy. And so the enemy didn't go anywhere until I prayed. I mean, I'm learning. I mean, I never had that before. I never had it since. We had another kid, I could tell you, a missionary kid that played a homemade Ouija board 3 times, and for 4 months, all I could think about was killing himself. It was unbelievable. We're running out of time. Objects. Oh, man. Invisible friends. Let me go to invisible friends, and maybe we can pick up objects. I'm looking at the time here. Questions to ask. Here are questions to ask about invisible friends. First of all, and you don't ask this right off to kids, but I ask this to kids, I have a lot of things from all over the world in my office, and I show them this is from the Apache Indians, and this is from that, and this is from Israel, and they like it. But I ask these kids, do you ever hear things that no one else hears? And they'll sometimes say, yeah. And then I ask them, do you ever see things that no one else sees? And we had a missionary son, 8 years old, sitting on my couch, and he said, yes. And I said, what do you see? He said, my friend right here. And he had an invisible friend that was not really invisible. It wasn't a make-believe friend. It was a friend that I couldn't see, that he could see. And what are they? Spirit guides. And they grow up with the kids. We get a lot of this. But no one ever asks this question. And so he said, but there's nothing wrong with them. I said, well, how do you know? He said, because he never tells me to do anything wrong. Now what do I do? Because if I send him away, what's going to happen? He's either not going to go anywhere or he's going to wait out in the hall for him when he leaves. This kid had to send him away. The 7-year-old boy had to send the spirit guide away. And so, you know, the Lord is on our side. And he does marvelous things. And what he did is, and this kid only knew I was a talk doctor, and he'd get no shots. So he's really excited. He could talk to me, and he wasn't going to get any shots. So he didn't mind being there. So we were talking, and what happened in the midst of all this was all of a sudden he looked troubled. I said, what's wrong? He said, my friend just told me something. I said, what did he tell you? He said, get up and leave, and we'll go play. Whatever you do, don't let this man pray for you. I said, do you think that's of God? He said, no. I said, why don't you pray and say, if this is not of God, then I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave and to go. So he did. I said, what happened? He said, well, he went out the door. He didn't open it. He just went right through it. But he went out. And that kid was there for 3 more days, and it never came back. And I could go on and on. You need to tell a child who they are in Christ. If you got my last prayer letter, you got the story of the Dallas Seminary grad that's in Africa, the 7-year-old girl who was being attacked physically by demons. They were raping her. Since the time she was 4 years old until she was 7 years old, demons were coming almost every night, and she'd go into a stupor and all of this. Well, anyway, this was going through a terrible thing. And so the Dallas Seminary graduate guy, really a neat guy, came to our counseling center just for 1 week to sit in on the counseling thing, because I can't go back to Africa and not know how to deal with this. So he sat with a week and counseling with me just in the office. So he's gone back, and he said, you know, that if he sent the demons away, this would not be significant. He had to get the girl. The girl had to send him away. So he began to teach her who she was in Christ. And then she began to send the demons away. And the demons would only come to the front door, and they couldn't come in. Now, she lived in Abidjan, and her family lived out in a village. And the sorcerer who was sending these demons was a distant cousin that were sending these spirits to attack her. And so there's miles. And the sorcerer sent a friend in when this girl began to resist and said, you must bring the girl back to the village. We must resolve our conflict. What conflict? Here's a girl in a major city resisting the spirits he's sending, but he knew she was doing it back in the village. He wasn't in the city because the demons could not get to her, and he wanted her. Well, since he was a relative, he started dying, and I just got to end with this story. He started dying, and what they did is they said, told her mother, I want you to bring your daughter from the city out to the village. And this is after Steve worked and worked with this girl through Neil's things, who I am in Christ, going through the victory over darkness with a 7-year-old African girl, 8-year-old girl. And when the family came, they felt they had to let this girl go back into the village where the sorcerer wanted to deal with her directly, this cousin of hers. And when she left the house of her aunt and uncle where she was living, she turned to them and she said this, you don't have to be afraid for me anymore because I know I am in Christ. And I'm not afraid of spirits. Isn't that wonderful?